It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Friday edition of Fresh Oil. Hey, today I want to talk to you about my favorite subject, and that is the grace of God. You know, 40 years ago when I started Grace Family Church, I'll never forget the day that God revealed His grace to me in a special way. You see, friend, I grew up in a very legalistic church. As a matter of fact, I got born again and born again a number of times in my life. Even though I'd never had a drink of alcohol, never smoked a cigarette, never did drugs, never did all these things that we were taught not to do, somehow inside my own heart condemned me, and I always felt like I was going to go to hell, even though I loved God with all of my heart. But in 1984, I began to take grace into my life from just being a doctrine to becoming an experience that I applied with the gospel in my heart. Now, what am I talking about? For many people, grace is just a prayer they pray over their meal, or at the most, it's a doctrine by which they're saved. But in 1984, shortly after starting Grace Family, I began to study and experience grace like I never had before. I can still remember to this day being in my little office in our downtown storefront church, tears running down my face. And even though I had been in the ministry for a number of years, for the first time, I truly understood that all my sin, past, present, and future, had been placed upon Jesus Christ at the cross, and He chose willingly to forgive me of all of my sins. See, I don't believe grace should ever be an excuse for sloppy living. God's people should live a good life that reflects Christ in our life and shows people the love of God. Grace should never be an excuse for sloppy living. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 4, Jude wrote about this. He said, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They're godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." See, friend, grace is not an excuse to just live however you want. Grace is the ability of God to, I like to say this, grace is God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Today, friend, we're experiencing a movement where a lot of people are falling in love with the message of grace. And I've been a Christian for well over 55 years, and I've seen the Christian community go through a bunch of movements. There was the charismatic movement back in the early 70s, which led into shepherding and discipleship movement in the late 70s. And then we had the Word of Faith movement, and people got all excited about the message of faith in Mark 11. And now in the past few years, it seems like people are getting excited over the message of grace. Like any movement, there are a great number of people who miss the core of the message, and they end up gleaning only part that's convenient for them. Grace is not a doctrine, friend. It's the gospel. It's the power of God at work within us. The New Testament church, they experience grace. First thing is, grace will empower you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 said, "But when you receive power," you will receive power, "when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I love Romans chapter 1. It talks about grace. It says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," in verse 16, "because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel," get this, "a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous," or the just, "will live by faith." See, friend, God's power and grace, they go hand in hand. And not only do we have the power through His grace, but we have authority He gave us when we operate in that realm of faith, believing without seeing. In Acts 4:33, it said, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus," listen to this, "and great grace was upon them all." My friend, I want that on my life. I want great grace to be upon my life. You know, in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach," what? "The kingdom of God and to heal the sick." We don't hear a lot of people today preaching the kingdom of God. That's the rule and reign of God in our life and in our world. Did you ever notice it did not say he sent them to pray for the sick? It says he gave them power and authority, and he sent them to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. Kind of like Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John were going up into the temple. Remember the story? They were by the gate beautiful, and they were confronted by the lame man who asked them for money. Peter didn't pray for him. He said this, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then taking him by the right hand, the Bible says he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now Peter could only give him something that he himself had. That was God's power through grace to bring healing to this man. Peter believed that he could do what Jesus did. He had authority that Jesus had given him. See, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7 through 8, he said, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is now. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." See, my friend, we are building our own kingdoms here in this world today instead of the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter the size of your church or how big the buildings are or how lavish they are. Are we preaching the kingdom, God's rule and reign in our life? Why doesn't God stop all the bad things from happening in the world? Have you everybody asked that question? Had anybody ask you that question before? The answer is really not that hard. He can't. It's not that he doesn't have the power to. It's that he gave that authority for what goes on down here to man. That's why Jesus came as the Son of Man. God won't violate his own word. He could have just shaken Adam and Eve like an etch-a-sketch and started all over. But no, he told Eve, "The serpent will bruise your heel, but your seed is going to crush his head." And then he told them in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Now listen to this. "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." When we fail to realize that God placed man on this earth to have dominion and rule over this earth, it's easy to blame God for all the bad things that happen down here. But we misunderstand the sovereignty of God, and something goes wrong, we want to blame God. The sovereignty of God. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I used to quote that from the King James, but I really don't think that's right in the King James. In the King James, it says, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." But all things don't work for good. What happens is, the way they put it in the NIV, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." See, it's not those bad things working in our life for good. It's our good God working in our life. If you look up the word sovereign in the dictionary, you'd find words and phrases like superior, greatest, supreme in power and authority, ruler, and independent of all others in the definition. You see, while God's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he keeps the planet spinning and he holds the stars in their place. But one thing God won't do is violate his own word. He gave mankind dominion and authority in this planet. And in all actuality, it's like he gave us a lease on this planet Earth. And so many times things are going wrong because we're allowing it to happen. We're not taking the authority that God gave us. You know, in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 5, it says, "The devil led him," Jesus, "up to a high mountain, and he showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of this world. And he said to him, I will give you all authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I will give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Now, you might say, what is Satan doing here? He says that all this authority has been given to him and all the splendor of this world. But he was lying, friends. Satan is a liar and the author of lies. God's the owner. Adam was the lessee. Jesus did not believe Satan. Why would we? He's offering Jesus that which Jesus created himself. You remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created by him. See, nowhere in Scripture do we find that this planet belongs to Satan. I find so many people want to say Satan is the god of this world, but he's not. He might be the god of the lost in this world. But in Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1, it tells us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God gave authority to mankind, and we are to use that authority as God has commanded us to do. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, he said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He's a liar and the father of lies. Friend, don't get your doctrine from the devil's words. He's the father of lies. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2 says this, and when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, why is Satan called the prince here? First of all, you'll notice he's not called the king, for there is only one king, and that is God. He's called the prince because he was one of three archangels. And I believe it calls him the prince of the power of the air because it refers to that invisible realm above the earth where Satan and his demons operate. Remember the atmosphere. That explains why Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 tells us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present world and darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Apparently, the scriptures teach us that Satan's domain where he operates is in the atmosphere above the earth. So our God is sovereign. But man is responsible. The earth belongs to God, and man has been given custodial rights over this earth, and we need to take those rights and use them responsibly. God has placed us here. When we start allowing the devil to creep into our hearts and doubt to creep in our hearts, the devil's usually whispering, where is God? Just like he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say you can't eat from that tree? He does his best to try to get you to doubt what God has for your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it's a therefore verse. I've always taught you, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. God's going to say something heavy. Listen to what Paul says here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. See, friend, God has committed that message to you and I to share with the world that Jesus paid for our sin. We don't have to relate to God based on our performance. We can relate to God based on what Christ did on the cross. And then 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, I love that verse. God took my sin, and the great exchange happened, and he gave me his righteousness, and he took my sin. Thanks for joining me today on Fresh Oil. Walk in grace, my friend. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.